Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hear that theme music? It wasn't always our theme music, you know. And later this morning, we're going to play some old clips and even some old theme music, like three previous themes from this program, as we say goodbye to our long-term executive producer, Nuala McGovern. She is moving to London, so as kind of a going-away present, we're collecting London Insider tips on our website. What should Nuala do for fun in London? Post your London Insider tips to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And if you're interested in some Brian Lehrer Show history, Nuala's been pulling some what she thinks are instructive clips from the last 8 years or so of this show, and she'll come on next hour and talk about them along with her five tips for being a successful radio producer. So that would be fun coming up in the hour. In the meantime, if you have insider tips for someone moving to London, post them to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, and you will see the page for that. Now, back in 2006, when things weren't so gloomy in the economy and people were living higher on the hog, Lee Eisenberg wrote an in-your-face book called The Number, the number being the amount of money you would need to quit the rat race, leave your job, and do whatever it is you really love. Some dubbed it the FU number, meaning the number at which you could tell your boss to shove it as you walked out the door. Well, times are different now, as we all know, and no one is thinking about this number anymore. They're thinking about a new number. It's the how low can you go number, the how little can I live on number. So Lee Eisenberg joins me now to talk about this new number, which he's written about in Portfolio Magazine this month in an article called, instead of the FU number, it's the I'm effed number. Lee, welcome to WNYC.
Oh, good to be here.
So first of all, explain a little more what this original number was.
Yeah, well, you got it pretty much right, but you only got half of it. The number referred to how much money a person thinks he or she needs, not just to, you know, tell the boss to shove it, but a greater part of the book dealt with what the retirement number was. You know, how much money will I need in order to live out my days in relative security.
And was there a number? Was there a one-size-fits-all number?
No, you know, the number is not like a pair of socks. One size does not fit all. And
one pair of socks does not fit all either, but go ahead.
There are just too many variables between and among us. I mean, some people want to leave money to their kids. Some people think that's the worst thing you can do to a kid. There are different levels of health care needs and so on and so forth. What the book tried to do was to say, first of all, you better work on figuring out what your number is. And in order to do that, you can't just take these sort of simple formulas that run in money magazines and in newspapers and plug in a couple numbers and do, you know, multiplication and boom, you got your number. I think there's too much of that simplistic, formalizing going on. What it urged people to do, and I gave some exercises in which people could do that, is to really sit down and think hard about what's going to make you happy, what's going to make you fulfilled, how will you be productive, how could you be creatively expressive, you know, what's really going to be meaningful in your last couple of decades, and at that point, you can begin to build a financial plan around it.
Okay, and hopefully most people will still find your book, The Number, relevant, because most people hopefully will still be saving toward eventual financial independence someday. So now, however, we are in this economic crunch where all we can see is down, and you've got this kind of the inverse, which is the I'm effed number. What is that, and are you being tongue-in-cheek?
Well, yeah, I am being tongue-in-cheek, or the magazine was being tongue-in-cheek. When I was researching the number, I would talk to a lot of people on Wall Street, and they had this concept of the number, and basically there were these extraordinary numbers. You know, if they had $2 million, they said, you know, they needed five. If they had $200 million, they needed $400 million, and so on and so forth. Right now, many of those same people not only don't have, you know, very much, they're really worrying about, you know, day-to-day, you know, getting getting through life, really subsistence. So, and there is that long-standing term on Wall Street called, you know, FU money, which is basically how much do I need to say goodbye. When I went back into the field and started to interview many of the same kinds of people I interviewed from my book, nobody was talking about the FU number. They were talking about the, if you will, I'm F, you know, number. But
actually, in the article, you have a little worksheet where you ask people to calculate their yearly expenses and then multiply that by 25 to get their new number. What is that multiplying?
That was something that the magazine did. I didn't really write that. I think it's an interesting, you know, exercise. The point I try to make in the book, and I really I think it's as relevant now as it was then, is that it's you got to think about two questions at once. Obviously, how much money you have is very, very important. The quantified part is very, very important. But what very, very few of us do across all socioeconomic levels is think about, you know, what's really important to us. And, you know, the one, if there's a punchline to the book, and it really does apply perhaps even more now, is that the things that really do matter, which is the list of stuff I gave earlier, those things don't necessarily come with a particularly high price tag. You know, to live a quality life, you don't need two cars, two homes, all the rest. What you need is a creative outlet, or you need to be doing something for the community, or you need to be doing something that makes you feel worthwhile and productive, particularly in the second half of life. So I try to avoid saying, you know, you need $1 million, you need $400,000. It really depends on what it is that you want to extract out of life over the latter decades. I want to say one other thing, because I was listening a little bit to your earlier interviews, and I was struck by a thought, and the calls particularly, and I was struck by a thought that I'm having a lot these days. However gloomy it is out there, as you say, and it is profoundly gloomy, I think there's a really interesting thing going on now, which is that because of this extraordinary challenge that most people face, there is a growing level of financial literacy happening out there. I mean, the thing that struck me most when I was researching my book was how fundamentally financially illiterate most of us are, and I'm including people who are highly intelligent, highly successful, you know, who are accomplished professionals and so on. The level of illiteracy and lack of confidence that we know what we're doing financially, be it with mortgages or investments or anything else, to me was astounding. And it's really interesting when I hear callers now call up and really do understand how mortgages can be misleading, really do understand how, you know, a misallocated investment portfolio or 401k or whatever it might be, they really are beginning to finally understand some basic fundamentals about how to live a financial life properly. And I would say if there is a perverse silver lining in all of this, I think the culture, the society has grown up, albeit painfully, and is beginning to finally understand that it's important to have at least a fundamental grasp about how money works. And, you know, in a society that historically has been built around materialism and financial concerns, it's just extraordinary to me that it's taken us this long to finally understand that we need to know how money really works in our lives.
I think that's a really, really good insight, and it's also a perfect segue to our next guest, who will be Anya Kamenetz, who I think has been trying to get exactly that message of financial literacy across to people for her years in the business now, writing about debt, especially for what she calls generation debt, and probably having a lot of people turn a deaf ear. So Anya Kamenetz is coming up next with her generation debt series. She's coming on once a month for the month of February, and we'll do that next. And Lee Eisenberg's book is The Number, and his new article in Portfolio Magazine is called The I'm Effed Number. Lee, thanks a lot.
My pleasure.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Anya Kamenetz next.